This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, August 2nd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the efforts to save historic city parks and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. The University of Illinois is in business as usual despite the lack of a state budget. University spokesman Tom Hardy says it can draw on alternative funding sources such as tuition and research income and contingency reserves to temporarily replace revenue from state coffers.
Because of the way public universities operate and the various pockets of funds that they have available to use for their operations, we have a little more flexibility than do other institutions that rely on state appropriations.
But Hardy acknowledges that those alternative funding sources would keep the U of I in business for about a month, and there are no plans in place in case the current budget deadlock lasts longer than the month of August. U of I President Joseph White sent an email to thousands of employees on Tuesday asking them to be at work as usual yesterday, even though there is no budget in place. While the state of Illinois still has no budget, a legislative leader says a deal could be coming soon. Sean Crawford has more.
On the same day, Governor Ron Blagojevich said he'd be willing to wait months for a new spending plan, one that includes his controversial universal health care program. Legislative leaders could be on the verge of a deal without him. The House and Senate are moving pieces of legislation into place that could include language for a full-year budget. One budget negotiator speculated a vote could occur later this week. House Republican leader Tom Cross says a low-growth budget is the most likely scenario, saying gambling expansion and other tax hikes have now been rejected in the private talks. While the governor is threatening a veto, Cross says lawmakers could override him.
I acknowledge it may not take care of health care, but all the other state pressures are being met, and he will be critical of that comment, but it'll be a budget that in all likelihood will get pretty significant support out of both chambers.
Cross says the legislative leaders want to avoid having employees go without getting paid or schools going without funding. It's believed August 8th is the first real deadline, as payments are supposed to go out that day. Among the holdups remain how much to give for local schools and higher education. Despite no budget for this month, state workers were told to be on the job and they'll get their money eventually. I'm Sean Crawford.
Governor Rod Blagojevich says electricity consumers should be patient while he reviews the $1 billion relief package that Illinois lawmakers approved last week. The Democratic governor says he doesn't want to sign a bill that would raise rates unnecessarily, so people should just sit tight. The relief plan would roll back some of the increased prices that took effect in January, but it would not freeze rates. They could still rise over the next few years, although a new state agency would be created to try to prevent dramatic rate surges. A rural Champaign County resident says his concerns over a proposed grain processing facility still haven't been addressed. Mark Eschbach lives in Seymour, a couple miles from where Clarkson Grain and El Milagro want to place their white corn processing plant. That's in White Heath on the Piatt-Champaign County line. On Tuesday, Piatt County's Zoning Board of Appeals unanimously approved the plant, passing it on to the county board for consideration later this month. Despite the testimony of expert witnesses, Eschbach says the companies continue to evade questions about odors from wastewater lagoons.
The questions we asked remain unanswered. We brought in specialists or people who could expert testimony to say this thing would stink. All they said was they had expert testimony that they could make it work. And as we know, that compliance doesn't mean it doesn't stink.
Eschbach says the only way for the plant to fix odor problems would be to utilize the municipal city sewer system, which isn't available in rural White Heath. Piatt County Zoning Officer Patricia Gale says this and other concerns, including proper paving of the road, lighting, and noise level, have been properly addressed by the companies. Clarkson General Manager Rick Bucker says the facility will create 30 initial jobs and potentially about 15 more a couple years later. The Piatt County Board considers the plant proposal on August 14th. A 47-year-old man accused of shooting two Champaign police officers in Westside Park in June is scheduled to appear in court again August 14th. Donnell Clemens was arraigned Tuesday in a six-count indictment returned by a Champaign County grand jury. He faces two counts of attempted first-degree murder plus additional charges. Chief Deputy John Murphy and Officer Shannon Bridges were both shot in the June 7th incident. Bridges was hospitalized for a week and has not yet returned to work. Clemens allegedly opened fire after the officers approached the car he was in. He could face up to 160 years in prison if convicted of all the charges. No charges have been filed in yesterday's traffic death of a Tuscola teen. State police say 16-year-old Christopher Colley rode his bike into the path of the rear wheels of a semi-truck at U.S. Route 36 and Washington Street in Tuscola yesterday morning. He was pronounced dead at Carroll Foundation Hospital. The longest-serving inmate in Illinois is up for parole today. Robert Wildebor has more.
William Hirons went to prison in September of 1946 for killing and dismembering a 6-year-old girl. Attorney Stephen Drizin represents Hirons. He says the 78-year-old is still in prison because of a change in philosophy at the Department of Corrections.
The emphasis has shifted from rehabilitation, which was the primary focus at the time Hirons was sentenced, to retribution.
Drizin says Hirons is rehabilitated. He got his college degree in prison and earned a certificate as an EMT, and even had a job as an ambulance driver as part of a program in the 1970s. Hirons has had more than 30 parole hearings. Parole boards often take into account whether a person shows remorse. Hirons maintains he's innocent. I'm Robert Wildebor.
Two names in banking in East Central Illinois are now officially one bank. First Busey and Main Street Bank and Trust have completed their merger and are operating under the corporate name First Busey Corporation. The bank plans to combine all Busey and Main Street branches under the Busey Bank name this fall. Five current Main Street branches in Champaign and Urbana are being sold to Freestar Bank under the merger agreement. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. At one time, cities were little more than stone and brick. But in the mid-1800s, Frederick Law Olmsted began changing all that. The landscape architect designed some of the most important park systems in the country. But decades of neglect and nature's wrath are threatening Olmsted's largest park system. Joyce Kryzak has the story of plans to restore it.
You've no doubt heard of and maybe even taken a stroll through New York Central Park. It was Olmsted who created that 800-plus acres of sprawling urban backyard. But Olmsted didn't just carve out a magnificent green space. He also carved out a reputation for himself and a demand for his designs for parks all over the country. Olmsted's green thumbprint can be found all the way from Boston's Emerald Necklace to Yosemite National Park. Brian Dold is a landscape architect from Buffalo, New York. He says even his profession is an Olmsted creation.
Came up with the term landscape architecture and really brought it to a scale where could do these major projects. So he sort of grew from getting work, and you know, the profession sort of took off from there.
And Dold has plenty of work to do in Buffalo. There he's maintaining Olmsted's first and one of his largest integrated park systems. Last October, a surprise snowstorm dumped 2 feet of heavy snow on the still leaf-covered boughs of Olmsted's majestic trees. Many of them splintered under the weight, leaving an amputated landscape. 90% of the trees were damaged, and hundreds were lost. But devoted park lovers are volunteering to help the nonprofit conservancy plant new trees throughout the 6 parks and parkways.
That's a lot of work.
Watch out. All right.
John Penfold even climbs up on top of the shoulders of some other volunteers to unlash the branches of a newly planted maple. Penfold says they're willing to do whatever it takes to save the parks.
When the storm hit, kind of saw all the trees fall. So I think it brought the community together, realized that we have these trees and we need them.
But before the storm hit, the park system was already in crisis. American elm disease swept through, killing the stately trees, and then the city cut money for maintenance. But now the nonprofit conservancy has come up with a 20-year master plan to restore the Olmsted Park system. Executive Director Jonathan Hollowfield says they have their work cut out for them.
This system at one time was home to about 40,000 trees. 40,000. We're down to about 12,000. So we have a long way to go to truly recapture the Olmstedian glory.
The sense of urgency is helping the Conservancy to raise the money and the muscle that it needs to fully restore Olmsted's vision. The vision part is where landscape architect Brian Dold comes in. Dold pored over Olmsted's plans and he consulted with other conservancies. It's his job to make sure that the system returns to the naturalistic setting Olmsted intended.
He really tried to make it look like it had naturally occurred. He used large open meadows and dense woodlands and, you know, pathways through there, sort of meandering through, sort of creating that Olmstedian landscape that looks like it could have been there from the beginning of time.
But Olmsted's plan will get tweaked a bit. Dold says Olmsted had some experiments that didn't work out so well. Over time, the Norway maples and the common buckthorn trees pretty much took over. Dold says they won't repeat the mistake.
We're not planting any of those, trees that aren't zone hardy and trees that are put on invasive species lists. Those are pretty much eliminated from, anything we would ever do in these parks, and we're actually physically removing many of them.
Instead, Dold says they'll plant native species. Lots of sugar and red maples, service berries, eastern red buds, and others. 28,000 trees over the next 20 years. Executive Director Jonathan Hollifield believes the new plan would meet Olmsted's approval.
He would be pretty happy, and particularly when you look out there and you see the diversity of use in the park, the volunteer element that we have, that's what Olmsted was about, democratic, egalitarian use, and that certainly is representative today.
So if you happen to be in a Buffalo Olmsted park this summer, be sure to bring a picnic basket and a blanket, or maybe a shovel and some tree stakes. For the Environment Report, I'm Joyce Kryzak.
In the forecast for today, hot and sunny with a high around 93 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 68, mostly sunny. A high around 90 tomorrow. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low around 68. For Saturday, mostly sunny. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high around 90. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WIOL.UIUC.EDU. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.